The Limping Ghost by Frederick Cowles. On the coast between Port Quinn and Polzeath, a well-lighted studio with living accommodation. Reasonable terms. Apply Box 209. That was how the advertisement read, and it seemed to be the very thing I was seeking. I wrote in to the box number and 2 days later received a reply signed Mary Truella. The terms were indeed reasonable, and I took the studio for the months of August and September. Business with my solicitor delayed me in London until the 3rd of August, and it was the 5th of the month by the time I got down to Pentire Court. It was a rambling old farmhouse with a studio obviously built on with an eye to commercial benefits. The Truellas interested me. The husband must have been over 70, whilst his wife was hardly more than 30. There was one servant, a little slip of a thing who seemed to be frightened of her own shadow. It was she who took me into the studio. The place was pleasant enough, well lighted, and with a fine view of the sea from the windows on the northern side. An excellent dinner was served about 7 o'clock, and afterwards I thought I would take a stroll down to the nearest village. When the little maid came in to clear the table, I asked which was the best way to go, in the direction of Port Quinn or towards Polzeath.
"Lor, sir," she exclaimed, "don't ye be going to Port Quinn. 'Tis only a ruin, and none has lived there since the fishing fleet was sunk years and years ago."
So I walked down to Polzeath, a quiet little holiday resort of a few hotels and a couple of shops on a wide bay. There was nothing else. I couldn't even find a public house, and after sitting by the sea for about an hour, I returned to Pentire Court. The house was in darkness. Evidently the family had gone to bed, and I thought I might as well do likewise. My sleeping quarters were above the studio, and access was gained to the room by a wooden ladder. It is my habit to read in bed, and I must have been reading for an hour or more when I heard somebody in the studio below. I could hear the footsteps quite plainly, and, as I listened, it seemed to me that the person, whoever it was limping. It was an uncanny sound at that hour of the night, and I did not feel too easy when I heard the footsteps mount the ladder. To be quite truthful, I lay in a cold perspiration waiting for the visitor to enter the bedroom. But the sound suddenly ceased. After all, it might be only old Mr. Truella come over from the house for something. The thought cheered me, and I jumped out of bed, seized my lamp, and went over to the trapdoor. There was no one there. I went down into the studio, but it was quite empty, and the door was fast. Thoroughly mystified, I returned to bed. In the morning I asked the maid if anyone had entered the studio during the night, but she assured me that such a thing was impossible.